Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this morning. Thank you for the ministry of your word and of your spirit, which has proceeded to us, even from us and amongst us as a church. We ask that through your word, by your word, our hearts will be much more instructed. Clarity be received, and accuracy, you know, in your word. The goal is to have our mind identified, re-identified in our heart that which you called us to do, and to see clearly how to do it better, to see the provisions that you have made available to us in your word, your spirit, your people, instructions by your word, to see again that which you've called us to do. We ask that as a result of the explanation of your word this morning, every heart will be knitted up together in faith. We will all have a common understanding of our mission. Our clarity will be received in our heart. There will be no ambiguities. There will be no doubts. There won't be thoughts that lead astray. There will not be contrary convictions, but we will all be convinced in your word. We will see that common vision, that common assignment which you have called us to do, which is why we're here. We ask and receive this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Alright. So, send discipleship, the cassette to work out yesterday night, we are going to embark on a more, should I use the word serious? Not really. We've always been serious, but we're going to, okay, a deliberate is the word. So we embark on a more deliberate approach of engagement or journey along some things we already teach in church. Are we together? I literally told them yesterday that we have been teaching, not all the time, but all the time, but not directly all the time, but henceforth, from now, I'm explaining, I'll be teaching what we are going to be having as books. Are we together? So that completely revolutionizes what I'll be teaching. How? I'll be teaching it. Yeah. Not different from what we have been doing, but just more deliberate now. Are we together? Alright. So I said especially our exhortational kind of meetings or teachings, like we have in Christian discipleship. We had a study on knowing who you are, right? Knowing who you are. So they will form parts and parts of materials and all that later on. But I mean, these days we'll come together and we'll have what we call, what we, you know, be in a form of a yearly approach to something. So there are subjects we already teach yearly, and then I'm going to bring in some other subjects that we're going to teach much more yearly, like Christian discipleship. We've been looking at, we had Christian discipleship some time ago, and I think we had quite a number of tracks, teaching sessions rather, that we had. And so this particular session is to complete the thought. Are we together? Is to complete the thought. You wouldn't know it's not completed. I'm the one that knows what I'm doing. So it's to complete the thought, to add to that. And like I said yesterday, subsequently, when we come together to teach like this, I will not stop talking. I think we have something that feeds into a whole material. Are we together? All right. So not all the any of the teaching. So that means I will go in and out. You will see what I'm saying as time goes. Praise God. Right. So it also means that we will look at one of the subjects is Christian discipleship. So I literally come every year. We trust God. And I'll be teaching on the concept of, or the subject of Christian discipleship every year. Now I'm trying to locate when I should fix that. Should I open the year? Should I be like a course in the middle of the year? Should I close the year? And I feel I'm more tilted to that emphasis closing the year, even though logically I think it should open the year. Praise God. Alright. But I'm more tilted to it closing the year, and I will simply come to us explaining concepts of Christian discipleship. Praise God. Yeah. Like I told them also yesterday, 2025, just around about this time, I already have my notes though. So, but just around about this time, I'll be explaining on the accountability in the local church. Accountability. And part of why, yeah, we should teach regularly, we should teach, but part of the reason why, what instructs, what teach now or later, is simply a function of what our church needs. Are we together? Yeah. The pastor must be able to look into the assembly and know what the assembly needs. If you can't do that, then you are not a good shepherd. Are we together? Are we together? So we look into the assembly and then we look at what do we need now. Obviously, when I say what do we need, I'm not talking about bringing, watering down the teaching ministry to serve your desires and people's lusts. No. So what do you need? I need money. So we start teaching on money. No. What do we need? I need this, and then we start teaching on that. No. I mean, what do we need now to fulfill God's plans? Are we together? Because that is why the local, you see, the concept of the local church, which again we have a study going on, which we use to explain the concept of the local church. And aside from one other emphasis that I have to explain to us, we have a teacher. Subject I want to explain, and it has to do with the mission of the church. Yes, it has to do with the mission of the church. What is the mission of the church? Are we together? What is the mission of the church? What? Why should we have a church in a community? What? Do.
I think it was Miles Monroe who said,
a great man of God, who said, a blessed memory, he said, when purpose, are we together? He said, when purpose is not known, it is abuse is what? Is inevitable when purpose is not known. So when we do not know the purpose of the church, which again is exactly what I started out this very set of
teachings,
or this session of teachings, explaining. And I'm going to get back, and I hope
I'm able to run that off.
Talk about other things before. If not, I'll just talk about that, then we'll look at other things. Are we together? Because that's church. Are we together? Yeah, I think it was Pastor Chris Okoti who said, okay, someone was asking him, he said, I observed when you come to church, you just teach, your people for about 15, 20 minutes.
I mean, the person I'm going to
is teaching
like
World Life Media Catalog, even though you won't see any teaching there that is 15, 20 minutes. Praise God. But I mean, the person had gone over Reverend Chris Okoti's teaching catalog and then saw a single teaching series, a single subject teaching series. I think he saw about 80 or 100 tracks. One teaching. Different teaching. Why do you have a long series of teaching under each subject? I mean, so the man said, the pastor said, or the reverend, he said, how did he even put it? I think he said,
he said in a way, I don't want to say what he did not say. I would say, so
he responded that there is no need rushing the. Are we together? There is no need what? Rushing the truth. Because the truth is that you don't know the truth in haste. That's why even in crime there is what? Investigation. Sometimes investigation can take years. Are we together? Yes. Investigation can
be failed.
Because
truth is not in
truth
in its nature.
It's not something you rush. Yes. Because the truth commands your pace. It dictates your pace. The pace dictates your pace. Are we together? The truth
is not
emotional. For example, you observe truth is not emotional. Truth is the truth. Truth does not care about your emotions. Truth is the truth. I'm not saying when you are saying the truth, don't care about people's emotions. I'm not saying that. But I mean, truth is not biased. It's not political. And all that. So truth dictates your pace.
So responded in a way that
he now said this. He said this now. So he now said that they are my church members. Where are they going? Are we together? Now I don't know how that comes off, you know, to you, but that's the truth. That's the truth.
Are we together?
That's the work of the shepherd. That's the
truth. So the
church has a mission. The church has a goal. Amen. The church has a mission. The church has a goal. There's a reason why we're here. So Miles Murat said that if purpose is not known, or when purpose is not known, or where purpose is not known, it is abuse will be inevitable. Are we together? So there's a reason why we have the local assembly. Yes. There's a reason for the church. The church exists in a community to evangelize the community. To evangelize the community. Now, not just to evangelize the community. Now, when I say evangelize the community, it means to disciple that community. So,
it shows you also that
the church
in God's design, the church
is
the one.
The church does not
look at
the community.
To know what to do.
Praise God.
I said, praise God. Because, look at this. The Bible
describes the church.
You know, when Jesus
comes, he says, in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus, in Matthew's Gospel, amen, you know, he began to talk about the church, and he was, pay attention, he was talking about the church, amen, you know, but because people argue then and says, oh, in the four gospels there was no church. I think that's a very stupid way of presenting things. Yeah. That's a very, let me use the word stupid, but an illiterate way of presenting it. Someone said, hey, Jesus never went to church. Jesus was not a Christian. Are you fine? God, just are we together? They show me one person. Was Abraham a Christian? When you have questions like that, and they are not really questions, but they tend to argue. They want to argue a stand and make you look unserious or foolish. I don't say. But that's an illiterate way of presenting things. Saying that David is not a Christian, David is not a Christian, is actually being an illiterate. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. Because it simply means he's Christ-like. That's Christian, Christ-like. Are we together? That's Christ-like. That's it. In fact, David wasn't just a Christian. David was a Christ. Are we together? Jesus' life was patterned after David. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? That's why you observe that one of the most used phrases in describing Jesus was seed of David, seed of David, seed of David. And seed of David doesn't just mean that he came from David's loins, generation. It means this one and David has something in common. There's something God began in David that is being fulfilled by this one. The same seed of Abraham. Are we together? Are we together? So, just leave those ones aside for now. So, the church Jesus' discussion now, in Jesus' discussion, because yes, in the four Gospels, and that's why let me say this, the best way to present the truth is not to throw it at people. Amen. Many times we do damage to the truth because we want to be seen as learned. And I'm already explaining discipleship. But I'll get back to what I was talking about the other two Sundays, and then I'll link it up with this to move forward. Amen. Look at me. There is no need to try to look like you are learned. In the scriptures, there's no need. There is no need to try to prove. Just your communication, your conversation, your approach to God's word reveals it. Are we together? You being very learned in God's word, and by that I mean you being vast, and I'm not even talking about vast in scriptures, ability to quote scriptures, I mean you having a good knowledge, a thorough knowledge of Bible subjects, Bible concepts, subjects and matters around the faith. You having a precise understanding of the subjects around the faith, ability to explain a concept, ability to bring a believer or an unbeliever out of ignorance and to establish them in God's counsel across different subjects. You're able to look at the subject of speaking in tongues. You're able to look at the subject of tithing, subject of walking love, giving. You are able to look at subject of, you know, just name them. There are various subjects in the faith, various subjects. Because of the local church, indwelling of the spirit, the new birth, salvation, you know, ministry, forgiveness, just evangelism. Just talk about it. There are hundreds or thousands of subjects to be discussed in the faith. The ability to establish people in sound understanding, complete understanding, the ability to explain and clear doubt, the ability to remove doubt from people's mind and steer up a true worship of God, because that should always be the result of teaching. Are you with me? See, a sign that you taught well is that when you are done, people worship God better. Because the purpose of Bible teaching is the worship of God. It's not to show knowledge. Amen? Worship. To worship God more accurately. Because God is interested in being worshipped accurately. Amen? You observe that in the Old Testament books. It comes to Noah. And he's giving Noah measurements of the ark. What concerns God with? He wants accuracy. He comes to Moses. He gives him instruction about the tabernacle. He tells him what should be found there, what should not be found there. Are we together? He does all that. So, God wants precision. That is why when you explain His word, you have to explain His word with precision. Don't just gloss over issues. You are playing. Don't just gloss over issues. Explain. So I'm saying that the ability to establish people in the knowledge of God's word, are we together? It's not something that you need to how do I say it now? You don't have to put yourself forth. Amen. You just have to do the work. In doing the work,
it becomes obvious. I don't try to show people that I know this, I don't know, I know this, I know that, I don't know. Just, you just do your work, because there's something about doing your assignments well. When you do your homework well, it will show. By the time results are out, it will show. Someone says, what did you score in the exam? Says, they gave me 50. Okay, go and sleep. That's what you did. Are we together? We used to have said that before. We used to say that. The WAEC did this or WAEC. You say, what was your score? They gave me C. It shows that next time you see score C, because you said they gave me. That's your attitude. You have an attitudinal issue. You don't take responsibility. I scored C. I didn't perform well. Amen. You don't have to. Do the work, it will be seen. Praise God, church. I said, praise God. So, you will observe Jesus in the four Gospels. He begins to talk to the church, his church. Jesus had the church that he pastored. In the church, he had workers. In the church, he had workers in training, being trained. He had leaders. He had members. Are we together? Are we together? The idea of church did not start today. It didn't start today. Moses had the church. Yes. He had church in Exodus. He had the church. I told you that Abraham had his church. Abraham was a pastor, a shepherd. Are we together? At the point, God had to say about Abraham that I know Abraham will teach and command his household. So Abraham was somebody who shepherded. He was a shepherd over God's people. You could already see that in his prayer life. How he supplicated for nations. Are we together? He supplicated for nations. Did you observe that Abraham's prayer towards Sodom was not to rescue Lot? Are we together? But to preserve the nation of Sodom. Are we together? Are we together? That was it. The focus of his prayer was that Sodom will be preserved. So Abraham was a soul winner. He had souls. And then it was clear to him that the nation was not righteous. But now the argument in prayer was that if you find so-so number, will you, because of that, preserve the entire... So his focus was to preserve the entire nation, even though he knew that it was an unrighteous nation. He knew the nation was in idol worship, but he supplicated. I don't want to use the word interceded. He used it anyway. But he was supplicating for them. Are we together? He intercedes by supplicating. Are we together? Then you find other instances where God will tell, is he Abimelech now, to go to Abraham, and that Abraham will pray for him, and he himself and his household will be healed. So I told you, Abraham was someone who ministered healing. You can't see that until you read those texts well. You have to read in this. Oh, so Abraham had the gifts of the Spirit. He was a preacher. He was a preacher. The same with Elijah. Elijah was a pastor. So he had, because in that setting, those they call members, are we together, are described as the sons of the prophet. It's not the sons of the prophet that we have today. There are people that are not connected. They are sons of the prophet. So you open a Facebook page, son of the prophet. That's nonsense. A word for your disciple or your member in those times, in that age, in the Old Testament books, is described as the sons of the prophets. Are we together? the sons of the prophet. Those were the people the prophet was training, teaching. So Elijah had sons of the prophet at Jordan. He had sons of the prophet at Jericho. He had sons of the prophet at Bethel. That is like having branches. Are we together? Are we together? So that's why I said you really have to be illiterate in scriptures to say some things the way some people say these days. Now, where is my focus? Jesus, in talking to the assembly before him, his immediate audience, his disciples, he now tells them, he says, you are the light. Are we together? He says, you are the light. So, he talks to his followers, his adherents. He talks to his disciples. He says, you are the light of the world. Then he goes on saying that he says, for example, he said, a city set on high cannot be hid, right? That is no man light a candle put under the bushel. So look at what he does. He calls his church the light. Now, light does not look at you. Light rather is something you look at. Are we together? Are we together? So, I said that to buttress what I said earlier, that the church does not look at the community. Yeah? To know how to serve God or carry out his mission. I'm not saying the church doesn't learn from the community. Amen? I said amen. But when it comes to how we should carry out our mission, we don't learn that from the community. Don't forget that if Jesus says, look at this, if Jesus says, you are the light of the world, again, let me ask you, that statement, you are the light of the world, could Jesus be referring to an individual or a people? Okay, let me help you. Paul writes to a church, Corinthian church, and then he writes to the whole church. He does not write to a brother in his room. So he writes to the whole church, and then in writing he says, know you not that you are the temple of God? Do you think that you are the temple of God referring to a person or a people? It's a people. Are we together? The address is, look at this, is ecclesiological. Ecclesia means the gathering, the assembly. So the address is assembly oriented. Assembly oriented. Look at this. When Paul says that you walk in love, amen, is that assembly oriented? So that shows that many of the instructions we read in the epistles are to be carried out in an assembly fashion. See, God does not recognize you alone. He doesn't. He recognizes you in the midst of his people. So he instructs us together. Are we together? He instructs us together. Now, does that mean God can't give me instructions personally? No, God can. God can give you instructions personally. And that's why a proof that you are acting on God's instruction is that he does not negate the corporate instruction. Are you with me? He does not. Obeying God's instruction does not result in your isolation. Amen? Following God's instruction will not result in you being isolated from among his people. No. It doesn't. So, if he looks at the assembly, his disciples, and says, you are the light of the world. At another time, he says, I am the light of the world. John 8, 12. In Matthew 6, he looks at this, he says, you are the light of the world. So he says, you are light. He says, I am light. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. In other words, when he says, you are the light of the world, and he's talking, you know, we said it's an assembly description, right? He describes a people. He describes a people. Now, what does he mean by you are the light? That already takes you to Genesis, right? Genesis 1. And that shows you that light has to do with its function. So when he says you are the light, he's describing your function. So in functioning, the church gives direction to the world. In functioning, when the church begins to function in its God-ordained mission, assignment, identity, we begin to give direction and identity to the world. So he looks at the church, he corporate instruction, he describes them, he says, you are the light of the world. Now, in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world, right? He says, I am the light. Then he says, you are the light. John 1 started with discussing Jesus as the light. The light that lightens all men that came into the world. Into the world. John 1. You see that in verse 7 and 8. Are we together? That was the true light. The one that lightens every man that comes into the world. Are we together? Are we together? So, Jesus is described as the light. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. He is that light that has shone in our heart. He is that light that has shone in our heart. He is that light that has shone in our heart. So, we are who we are in Him. The reason why we are the light is because He is light. Are we together? Are we together? So, that shows you that we get our identity from Him. We get our own identity from Him. It is in Him that we are known. If we are known in Him, then it is also in Him that we will discover our function, not in the world. So he says that you are the light of the world, the church. You are the light of the world. Then he comes, he says, I am the light of the world. So if he says, I am the light of the world, and then he points to the church. He says, you are the light of the world. Are we together? Observe what he calls the church in Matthew 16. He calls it my church. He personalizes the church. My church. Upon this rock I will build my church. He personalizes it. So we are his church. Are we together? You know, I don't say I am his church. Are we together? Are we together? You can't say, I am his church. I am his church. No, we need to check you. You don't say, I am his church. You can say, I am a member. Because one person is not church. But we can say, we are his church. So, when he says, upon this rock, I'll build my church, he wasn't referring to building individual believers. Again, he was talking about a corporate work. An assembly. So he personalizes the church. He says, my church. I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Are we together? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So we are his. See, I'm his. We are his. Say, we are his. Are we together? If I say that I am his, it is because we are what? His. Are we together? See, I belong to the Lord. So if I say I am his own, I belong to the Lord, you are not wrong. But you must know why. It is because you are a part of a people that belongs to him. He works on a corporate basis. Praise God. He does what? Works on a corporate basis. So we expect God to lead us together. Praise God. We expect to be taught together. He works with a people. Yes, God works with a person, but he works with a people. I told you many times that when God is working with a person, it is, what is his target? A people. His work with an individual always leads to a work with a people. Because that is goal. Many. All. Plenty. Groups. So look at this. He says, I am the light of the world. Then he comes back, he says, you are the light of the world. That shows you something, church. It shows you and I that we being light, we are actually functioning in his stead. We function in his stead. So again, not individually, even though we can individually function, but corporately, as a church, we do what? We function in his stead. So if we have, look at this. Look at me. How is Jesus present in communities? Is it true believers or true churches? True believers or true churches? Or both? Are we together? But how is Jesus present in a community? Is it true believers or true churches? True churches. Now, if we say both, and you bring in the element of who is also present in communities, true believers, if a believer is present in a community, to what end? Did you get it? Let's say in all of this tank, there's just one Christian. To what end? That is, what is God's goal? The church, churches. He is present in churches or through churches. Are we together? So, when we say the word is growing in the community, it means what? Churches are what? Multiplying. Now let's qualify it. Strong churches. And when I say strong churches, you know exactly where I mean. Strong churches are multiplying. Are we together? Now, look at this. A church is a cell. A church is a two or three people. That's a church. The moment you have two or three people, that's a what? That's a church. And it's not a weak church, it's a strong church. Two or three people is a what? Can be a what? A strong church. Because the strength, when it's a strong church, it is about their attitude to the mission of God. Being a strong church is a function of a strong attitude to the mission of God. Eventually, the strong church will become numerically strong. Are we together? But a strong church is not because of its numbers. Though eventually, the strong church will become numerically what? Strong as well. So, more churches. Someone say more churches. Are we together? More churches. So, if we say this morning that we want to have multiple churches in the city, do we think this morning we can have like 50 churches? Huh? Do you think we can have like 50 churches? Two or three. We can have 20 churches, 30 churches, 40 churches, 50 churches. 100 churches in the city, 2 or 3, with a strong attitude to the mission of God. Discipleship. So if he says, I'm the light of the world, and then he comes back and says, you are the light of the world, it means that in us being light, we are actually functioning for him. We are functioning on his behalf. So he is the light. Amen. The reason why we are called light is because he is the light. He is in us. So he is the light. So when we function as light, it is because we are functioning in his stead. The church is functioning in his stead. Actually, our study on church and local church is built on what I just said now. So we'll do it. So the church functions on his behalf. That is why I said the church does not look at the world. Are we together? The church focuses on Jesus and functioning in his stead to the community. We look at Jesus, we see what is in the Father's mind, we see what God is trying to do. What is God toiling at in the community? Because God has struggles. Are we together? Are we together? God is described in the scriptures as a laborer. Laborer means you are toiling at something. So God has challenges. Are we together? Are we together? The chaos of this world is a challenge. Are we together? And his glory will cover. Amen. Are we together? His glory prevails. Are we together? But God has works. God has toils. God has labors. Are we together? You look at salvation itself, it will take him hundreds of years. That's why I told you that I know we say regarding miracles that whatever God wants to do, he can do it like this, right? Right? Like this. And that's not wrong, but the scripture has shown us that that is not always how God works. That's why to follow God's plans, you have to know God. Many times, the way God works is that eventually it will be done. Because one thing about God is that God always has his way. Oh, sure. God always what? He will always have his way. If I was speaking to a great friend of mine, you know, and then as Pastor Matthew, and then he, in the conversation, as we were talking, and then we were discussing around a number of things, the natural, and then ministerial, and then church, and a number of other ministry activities, and then we got into that conversation, and that was how he said. He actually told me, he said, he feels like a peak of Bible knowledge. That the height, to him personally, of Bible knowledge, the height of insight, the height of conclusion that he has reached in Bible teaching, Bible understanding, is the fact that God always just has his way. So many times, he's also in the eventuality. That's why as a Christian, you must not be wearied out. Amen? You mustn't be wearied out. You can't have God on your team and be wearied out. Amen? You can't have God on your side and be what? Wearied out. Because I think I mentioned this to you some weeks ago, right? I said it. David will say, those who know their God will be what? Sorry, Daniel 11. Are we together? 32. He says, will be strong and what? They will what? They will do extra. Those who know their God. So you have to know God. And in knowing God, sometimes you observe that sometimes the way God works is that eventually that thing will be done. So many times we are in a hurry, we are in haste. We are in a hurry. And when that is not properly said, it can lead us astray. You want the result now. Oh, will this not happen? Why is this not happening? I want this to happen. I need this. I need that. Then you take steps that tilt you out of his plans. But if only you can rest and observe that part of how God works, are we together? Is that eventually, someone say eventually, that's it. It will be done. There are some things personally I've wanted to do, both in my own life and also in the ministry. I've wanted to do. And I'm talking to you this morning. I wanted to do a couple of years ago. And I'm doing them now. And when I think about how, you know, the journey has been in those times up until now, it just further restates the fact that God is working something out. Are you with me? You will know God. It will help you to produce his results. That's what it means by they shall know God, they will be stronger and they will have exploits. It will help you to produce his results. So know how God works. It's not every time like this. Amen? And it is for his reasons. See, God also does things based on his pleasure. He's a king. Are we together? He's a king. He also does things based on his pleasure. He also, look at this. Are you with me? Praise God. He also does things in the community of his plans. What I mean by that is this. Don't be in a hurry to write. Are we together? What I mean by that is this. Sometimes, the reason why God will do this is because it's time. It's time. Why do we say it's time? Because there are other things that he is doing. And at that moment, this is the time to get this done in a way that it complements the other one that you might not know. So, I know we sing this song, says it makes all things beautiful. What? That's what it means. Now let me give you an analogy, for example, and I will not be definite. I will just, as a pastor, I mean, I serve in your church as a pastor, and then there are times when maybe I'm talking to your leaders, or I'm talking to one or two of you about something, a plan, a decision, and all that, and then you're expecting that, or they're expecting, your leaders, they're expecting that I will give this instruction, go ahead with this, and I'm just quiet. And the only reason why I've not given a go ahead, or the only reason why I've not said, okay, let's do this, or take this, or okay, sometimes it's just the permission that is needed. I give this person permission, then the permission now gets to that other person, and then the activity is rolled out. Sometimes the only reason why I've not said that, I've not given that person a go ahead, or this, is simply because of where I am. I'm an overseer here. Overseer means I see more things than all of you. That's overseer. It doesn't mean I know all, but it means from where I stand, things make more sense. Because I have that information, I have that one that you might not have, I have the information about that unit, I know the challenges that cell is facing, and that's it. So I can instruct this cell, don't do that. And maybe the cell leader there does not know why, except I explain. I said, okay, don't do this now, don't do this yet, you do that. And I'm giving an instruction because 3-4 other cells are, and I'm the only one in that privileged position to see. Are we together? So, and sometimes you'll be like, I don't really know what pastor is waiting for, but it's, but because I can see. So sometimes what you are seeing is just a piece of a puzzle. Now I use that analogy as it pertains to what I say. How much more God, who sees everything. So sometimes he does this because that is the time it will make sense in the community of his plans. So someone said, what do? Trust him. Say, I trust God. Trust him. Trust him. Praise God. Trust him. Are you praying? Are you acting on the word? Are you seeing all the necessary activities you need to carry out and you are doing it? When you have done all of your parts, do what? Trust him. Let me tell you something. God can deliberately not make some doors to open to you in business now. Yes. Why? Go and ask him. So how then do I know he is the one working? Do all you need to do humanly. Pray. Obey the leading of the Spirit. Trust him. Are we together? So it's not that you are lazy at business. Say God is the one that is not making. No. Just do all. Keep doing your part. Tell your neighbor, say, keep doing your part. And keep praying. And keep following the leading of the Spirit. You know, prayer brings the element of the leading of the Spirit into our life, right? That's what prayer does. So keep praying. Tell someone, say, keep walking. Tell the person, say, keep being busy. Are we together? Tell the person, say, keep walking. Keep being busy. And pray. And obey the leading of the Spirit. Then trust God. See? Let me tell you something. That's how to live. That's how to live. It works 100% of the time. And look at this. Because this is where our focus is on. Including in the what? In the ministry. Are we together? Are we together? In the ministry. Including in the ministry. In the ministry. We keep walking. We keep sowing seeds. In discipling the brother, you are discipling that brother, you are discipling that sister, and you are in a cell, a community, a cell is there, and you are in a city. Work of the ministry, and I'm saying it like some of you are talking to me, Pastor, and like Pastor, complete it now, complete the rest, and tell your neighbor, say, keep walking, keep being busy, and praying. Are we together? Do you know that? Part of keep walking means treat people well. Are we together? Treat people what? Look at me. How do you treat people well? Look at this. Pick your phone, call them on their birthdays, and stay on phone with them.
doing ministry. I'm doing ministry. I'm doing ministry. So you don't build relationships. I'm busy. I'm God's man. Evangelism. I want to win a soul. So you are not there for a friend. God can't use that person for you. Are we together? I told you this. When Moses wrote and said, God said, it is not good that man be alone. Right? I will make a help for him. Are we together? Are we together? I will make a help for him. Now, you know, we have said that the help, are we together? The help will be found in Christ. Well, God became man. It shows you that the help is in humanity. Now, this is where my focus is. God says, it is not good that man be alone. And that statement was made while man had not yet sinned. So, man needing another man, human being, to progress on the earth is not because of the sin. It is how God created man. God created us to need other human beings. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at me. Including when it comes to knowing him. So, look at me. Look at me. I'm God. Are we together? This is brother Stephen. Are you with me? Let's say I'm God. I want him to know me. Then I tell him to go to him. Why can't you tell me? Go to him. God deliberately does things to reinstate the fact that you need one another. It's not because he can't give you. Are you with me? But he wants to, because he's a family. He's a family. He's a family God. So he does things to strengthen that family orientation. To strengthen it. So he says, go to him. So that is why you observe today that God can deliberately put what you need in someone else. See, it's very simple. A woman cannot even bring forth a child without needing a man. A man cannot reproduce after his kind within a woman. So it shows that even in nature, God has shown us that to increase, as it were, we need one another. I mean, he did it in such a way. And there is nothing that stops God. You already observe that in other creation. That a single creature can have both male and female reproductive, sex. So there's nothing it costs God actually to put in one person both male and female reproductive sex. Are we together? System and all that. In both, the whole thing that a man needs, or the whole thing that humanity needs to carry a child, are we together? To carry a child, to the hormones, the whole thing that humanity needs to raise a child, carry a child, and there's nothing that caused God to put it in a single person or in each human being. Then he splits it. And you can't question him. That's what he wants. That's why I tell someone, I said, at the end of our lives, we will stand before somebody. That all your knowledge of atheism, you will explain it to him. Yes. there's no God. It was a big bang. And then he said, bow. You see, your brain is doing bow. I can even hear it as you are saying. You will stand before the one that created all things and you will tell him that you don't exist. Oponu. You looked at yourself like this. You saw your own intelligence. You saw your bones. You saw the coordination in your system.
You saw how there's a transport, there's a delivery system. A delivery system in you. You saw your entire makeup. You saw the complexities of your own thoughts. How deeply. You saw your entirety. Then you said, I came by chance. Are we together? Now don't forget, David said, a fool says what? So the atheism, no God, did not stand in 2024. Did you get it? Atheism did not start in the 19th century, 20th century, 21st century. No. It had been 4,000 BC, 6,000 BC has been atheism. So it's an age-long doctrine that has consistently failed. Because can't you see that the knowledge of God is pervading the earth? That's life. When you see something that keeps on losing and reducing and dying and reducing and losing, then you see that no, that one is not the truth. Are we together? And that's how God works. In ministry, in discipling people, and that's how God works. So I keep sowing seeds. Are we together? I keep walking. You keep sowing seeds in your business. Are we together? You keep sowing seeds. Then you keep praying. Build a life out of sowing the necessary seeds. Praying, obeying the leading of the Spirit, and trusting God. List those four things in your note. Build a life out of it. Sowing the necessary things, I mean, doing the right things. That means you will improve yourself. Your knowledge, your understanding, associating what to do and how to do it. You keep improving. You keep working towards doing something better. You find out, what better way can I do it? In what better way can I do it? In what better way can I lead a soul to Christ? In what better way can I have a rich conversation about Jesus with people? In what better way? In what better way can I pray? Yes. In what better way can I pray? Maybe you only pray at the time that you are set for yourself. You have set a routine for yourself that you only pray at those times. But there are instances where there is a prayer nudge. Pray now. See, the nudge that says pray now will do something more drastic than the routine you created. While the routine you created keeps you fresh and consistent. Are we together? Are we together? That is why, look at this. Look at this. Let me say it this way. Look at me. The routine, which is important and compulsory, that you create or you have created for prayer, is necessary for you to be refreshed. It's a spiritual exercise. But when there is a nudge to pray, let me tell you the secret. That nudge is an open door, a temporary open door for the miracle of in those 10 areas that your routine, are we together, has been used to deal with. So if I set a prayer routine and say, oh, I'm going to pray regarding this at this time of the day or of the week, I'm going to pray consistently. Having set a routine of prayer, this is part of what that routine of prayer will do. The routine of prayer, are we together, we bring you a burden to pray at a specific time, which opens the miracle, opens the door to the miraculous in the same area for which you have set that routine to deal with. This is an initiative in prayer. This is an initiative in prayer. That the Spirit of God will wake you up at night. Pray now. It's an initiative in prayer. That the Spirit of God will just put a body. Just say, I just feel like praying. Hey, why are you talking about it? I don't know. But I just feel like praying. And you're telling me, pray now. I just feel like praying. And why are you now telling me? And you are still talking. You find a spot immediately. You deliver that body. You deliver it. You pray it. You release that body into prayer. Good. You have set something in motion. And the work can end. Praise God. So back to my thoughts. In raising disciples, it's the same approach. Same approach. In raising disciples. So, I do the necessary things. I labor at getting better at those necessary things. Is there a way to do it better? Consistently. Laboring at that. Because I must keep working. God doesn't stop working. You can't be trusting Him and you have stopped working. What if I'm tired? He gives you grace. What if I'm not encouraged? He gives you grace. Then I do what? I pray. And prayer brings in the supernatural element into what I'm doing. There is nothing that brings in the supernatural to the community of men other than prayer. God's supernatural. Either your prayer or somebody's prayer for you. Are you with me? But why wait on somebody's prayer for you? That is not certain. When you have the ability to drive the wheels yourself, you actually have the ability to bring in the supernatural and drop it. Why wait for chances? Why rely on people are praying for me? When you can actually be the one to lay on the supernatural and drop it in the scenario. Ministry. Orchestration. Are we together? Supernatural. Prayer. So, in making disciples, we must take note of those facts. Let me complete a big part of my thought this morning. Yeah. So, actually said one. Say what I just said now in one half. Alright. So, the big part of my explanation this morning is what we started out with already. So we said in a local assembly, there are meetings, right? Right? There are meetings. In the local assembly, there are meetings. And the meetings are not all the same. I took us to Genesis to show you that in Genesis, God distinguished things. He distinguished light from darkness. Because that's what the book of Genesis was for. A book of distinguishing. And I showed you that the reason for that distinguishing is for the sake of orderliness, which is needed for increase. So if there's going to be increase, there's a need to have orderliness. If there's going to be orderliness, then you must know what is what. Distinguish. So, in the local assembly, I said, we have different kinds of meetings. We said about the first meeting, local assembly is a teaching meeting. It's a primary meeting of the local assembly. Jesus had the same. Matthew 5, Matthew 4, Matthew 6, 7, 8. Jesus was teaching. In Matthew 7 and 28, the people were astonished at his doctrine. We went through those texts already. And I told you that When he says the people are strange as doctrine, he says, therefore, he spoke, you know, great wisdom, not as the Pharisees and all that. It was because of the fruit of his teaching. So I showed you that the fruit of the teaching meeting, the teaching meeting has its fruit. In Luke 24, he says in verse 32, he says, their eyes were open. Are we together? Their eyes were open. Their hearts were open. So as a teaching meeting helps us to see with clarity the purpose and the plans of God. The purposes and the plans of God. Are we together? Teaching, I said, is by opening the scriptures. I said that in teaching, we open people's understanding to the counsel of God via explanation. In Matthew 22, verse 40 and 41, having encountered the Pharisees and the question which they asked Jesus, I told you that in teaching also, you are able to put things out for people to think through. Many times the way you are taught is that a question is thrown to you. That's what teaching meetings do. And that question creates knowledge. Because teaching is something that pricks your thinking. So it's a primary meeting of a church. We saw in Matthew 28, when Jesus says to go into all the world and make what? Disciples. And again, from what I said earlier, I talked about Matthew 28. When he says, go ye therefore and make what? Disciples of every nation. Again, that instruction, was it an instruction to an individual or a corporate instruction? So it shows you that, look at this. The work of reaching the world is something we all have in common. It's not the work of a few. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Go ye into all the world. And that instruction was corporate. Amen. I said amen. The sojourn was what? So, look at me. In God's mind, in God's intention, reaching the world, what we call evangelism, world evangelism, is something that we embark on as an entire church. Go ye therefore, a corporate instruction, an instruction to all. So it's something we embark on as a what? As a church. We embark on it. And it's an ongoing mission also. So it's not something we are going to do for a week and stop. Amen. Now don't forget we said, the way Matthew presents it is to go disciple. So discipling the world is a mission of the entire church. That means even the children amongst us are supposed to have disciples. Do you get it? The moment you are born again, you are expected to immediately start having what? Disciples. You are expected to immediately start having disciples. Immediately. So, that takes away the issue of I'm called, I'm not called. God has not called me. Then the devil has called you. Are we together? I told you, there's nothing like God has not called me. There's nothing like that. Every one of us here, we're called into the ministry. The church is not a gathering of the called, and the not yet called. The called, the church is rather a gathering of the obedient and the disobedient. Yes. Because there's nothing like, I'm not called. You are being disobedient. All a corporate instruction. So we have a corporate instruction to reach the world. If we have a corporate instruction to reach the world, and we are then told the various activities wherewith or by which we will reach the world, it shows you that those activities are also expected to be commonly attended to. If we have been told to reach the world, and it's a corporate instruction, that mission, that assignment is common to us all. We are now told in the scriptures that this is the way to reach the world. These are the things we do in reaching the world. It shows you that those things themselves are also to be commonly what? Attended to. Are we together? So we can't have a corporate instruction to reach the world, and then you devise your own strange means, or you withdraw yourself from the activities of it. The channels through which we are told to reach the world, you now withdraw from it. No. It's a common instruction. It's a corporate mission to evangelize the world, to disciple the world, to disciple the nations. It's a corporate mission. If it's a corporate mission, then the meetings of the church, are we together, will also be corporately what? Attended to. That is why there is no one in church who should not be in the prayer meetings. There is nobody, member of a local assembly, who should not be in the teaching meeting. Someone said, oh, in your church, why must everybody attend all the meetings of your church? Why? So he says, I observe that in your own church, why is your church strange? Why is your own church different? I mean, people have to be, how can people be in every service? People can't be in every service. People have to do this, have to go to their work, have to do this, have to attend to children, have to attend to their work, people can't be in every service. The reason why you are saying that is because you have been felt all your life on fake Christianity. You have been given the convenient as the norm. Yes, I call it fake. Are we together? Are we together? You have been fed on a dysfunctional meal diet. That is the reason for that question. Because you observe that many times when Jesus was asked questions, are we together? He did not give answers. He gave questions again. Why? Because by the time you prick your mind, are we together? It pricks your mind. By the time you think through his question, you already get your answer. Amen? By the time you are thinking to sincerely answer his question, you get your answer. You get your answer. So, who answered that question? Why should a Christian attend all the meetings of the church? Why should a Christian not attend all the meetings of the church? Why is it strange that in every service you are there? The reason why it is strange to be in every service is because you don't see yourself responsible for the people of God. You don't see yourself responsible. You don't see yourself responsible. Are we together? It's now even worse when I came across some crops of pastors who said that even they can't be in every service. I said, okay. You know, it's worse. It's already bad on the, what's it called? The shoulder of the light. Permit me to use that very casual phrase. But the clergy, is a serious. Actually, there's no such phrase. It's a wrongly used word, though. Yeah. But serious.
Say, even me, I can't be in every service. I have this to do, I have to do that. So how do you pastor the flock? Then you don't understand the work of a pastor. You don't understand. See, in Christ, we've discovered that the shepherd is always personally present. Yes. Christ is that shepherd that is always personally present. If you are standing in his stead, we must see that. Are you with me? Are you with me? He is that shepherd that is always what? Personally present. His cell leader is always personally present. His local church pastor is always personally present. Always personally present. See, he toils and labors to be there. Because the first step to be useful is to be present. Amen. I said amen. The first step to being useful is what? Availability. To be present. So, a corporate instruction. So, the meetings of the local church are a corporate instruction. Are we together? It's a culture. Oh, sure. There might be times when an engagement as such are taking you to a place outside the city to walk. It could be work, it could be family, it could be health. Are we together? And the person was not in that service. And that happens. Are we together? But I'm saying that your culture, your training is to be in all. So it's just so basic. See, it's just so basic that to do well in your exams, you'll be in every class. Are we together? We can't be in every service. But you can go to work every day. You can be at work every day. You are just not serious. You are not a serious Christian. You can be at work every day. It's like someone that says, I can't attend a church like that, where they are talking to me like that. I can't attend a church where someone is talking to me like that. Because even my parents don't talk to me like that. And when your boss calls you and rebukes you, even with a suspension, even when you discover that, you were not wrong, it was a misjudgment, you still don't say, "Yes, sir, it's my right." Are we together? It's my right. No. It's just not so serious. A corporate instruction. Not a corporate instruction. So these are corporate instructions. So as we look into our study, I'd like you to approach with that mindset. It's a corporate instruction. There is nothing being said that you are left out of. Because the mission of discipleship is a mission we all have been given. Not just to carry it out, but to carry it out together. Because that's the meaning of ecclesiological instruction. It means that we are not just saying all of you have been told to do it. You have been told to do it what? As a team. So, discipleship is carried out as a team. Are we together? Are we together? And look at this. And it's going to form the basis. It's forming the basis of a number of things I'm going to say. And the nature of this study is that it's going to be practical. So you are going to see things that you need to do. Or we rather are going to see things that we need to do in our discipleship work that we have not been doing.
We ought to. And that's why I'm starting this way. To show you, you are not left out. And then to show you the meetings of the church. Now, why am I showing you the meetings of the church? Because I'll get back to it now. Why am I showing you the meetings of the church? And then we're going to see it in the scriptures. That there is no other kind of meeting, including wedding, in the church. Are we together? Are we together? So, wedding ceremonies is not a church meeting. See, these are hindrances to a church being strong and being focused to actually carry out God's plan. Are you with me? They are the tiny, tiny little foxes that ruins the vine. Wedding ceremony is not a church meeting. Now, in as much as two people, it has to be a brother and a sister. Are we together? Are we together? Get married, amen, in the church. Are we together? And look at this. We can teach and pray with them in the ceremony. Are you with me? In the ceremony. Are you with me? But it is not the church having a service and its wedding. And they are two different things. Because it affects how you go about it. And it also affects the fruits of it. And it affects how we worship God in that scenario. Yes, two people can get married in church, and the pastor or a leader is there to rejoice with them, share the word. Are we together? Are we together? Pray with them, speak words of blessing and faith, rejoice with them. But it is different from the church is holding a service and its wedding. That is idol worship. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, we're saying there are meetings of the church. And the meetings of the church is focused on the purpose of the church. Are we together? There is the purpose of the church. There's a reason why the church exists. A local assembly is in a community for a particular purpose. Wedding, holding wedding ceremonies is not part of it. It's not part of it. It's not part of it. But to raise strong disciples. So our meetings are preordained. They are there in the scriptures. They are there. Are we together? Are we together? Birthday ceremonies. It's not a mission of the church. It's not a mission of the church. The meetings are discipleship tools. And we're going to talk about meetings. So, saying that, we have a program. Lord said, invite me. I said, okay, well, what kind of meeting is it? And then he says, it's a program. Because that's my training. You can't invite me to a meeting and I don't know. So I'm asking, I was listening to say, is it a teaching meeting? Or a prayer service? Is it a prayer meeting? Is it an outreach meeting? And then the guy was like, it's a program. I don't understand. I don't understand it's a program. You are inviting me to a church service. What kind of meeting is it? Because the local... See, when things are mobile together, they can't be grown. Such churches don't grow. That's why I started by showing you God... Genesis was... In Genesis 1, God made distinctions. So, that's what God does. Distinctions. So, in a church, there has to be distinctions. The meetings are distinct. The activities of the church are distinct. Are we together? The personalities in the church are distinct. Their roles are distinct. There has to be distinction and order. And that's the training of ministry. Distinction and order. Distinction and order. That's the training of ministry. Every day, we are working on your ability to recognize order through distinctions and practice and regard them and replicating them. And that's discipleship. First of all, at salvation, you are able to distinguish between God and the gods of the earth or idols of the earth. Distinction. Then, as spiritual growth happens, it is because you are recognizing the distinction between you and the world. What communion, heart, light and darkness, fellowship, heart, righteousness or righteousness, concord, heart, Christ rebellion, and then all that. You are the temple of God. Paul is teaching distinction. So distinction is a sign of spiritual growth. Ability to recognize the differences. And that's where wisdom that I mentioned comes to play. Are we together, George? So he told me, and that it's actually a yearly meeting. I said, what is it for? He says, we just come to give God thanks and to praise Him for what He has done for the past 1 year. I said, hey, I'm just talking. So it's like a Thanksgiving service. He said, no, it's not a Thanksgiving service. Ah. So how do you give thanks to God? He said that, you know, they will invite people and then, you know, we just actually come, you know, he says it's like a 6 or 7 hours or 8 hours meeting. He says we just invite people and then we dance. Ah, you can't see me there. You can't see me there. I have home theater in my house. or in the car. I will dance. He didn't even know what the meeting is for. He said, we just come and then he said, we just dance. He just dance. So we dance for 8 hours. Are we together? So we dance for 8 hours. And I said, no.
I didn't say that I'll think about it. I won't be there.
Ah, why?
I think I won't be there. And I say, what day is it? We're now failing to a meeting, they say. So that day. The holy day. I won't be there.
But you can also share with us.
Wait, are you inviting me to come and teach and preach? That's a totally different thing. If you're saying that I should come and teach and preach, it's not a different thing. But I mean, I should come and dance and then share. What am I sharing?
That's a confused assembly. Gathering people just to dance is not a Christian meeting. Let's quit and let's focus on the mission of the church so we can raise strong disciples. It's not a Christian meeting. There are definite meetings of a church, and coming to dance is not part of it. Are we together? He said, what about concerts? Let's have a concert and then we'll sing, we'll invite all sorts of guest artists and then gospel singers. And then, what's gospel singer? Who is a gospel singer? They don't have churches. And he says, you are just strange.
I'm not strange. I think you are the one that is strange. How can I say I'm strange?
You are the one that is strange. You are the one saying everything that is not in the scriptures. You are the one that is strange. See, you just invite those artists you are bringing. When are you bringing them? And this and this and this. Okay. What church does this one attend? I don't know. That other one you are inviting to come and sing, what church does he attend? I don't know. That other one that, so they are just people that they were called to sing in their room and just have disorderliness. So by the time you bring them together, they don't have the same doctrinal persuasion. They believe things that are contrary to each other, all of them, and they will minister in one meeting over a weekend. In one meeting. And you already pay them honorarium, and they already pressure you how much they will not collect. Those are not servants of Christ. And because they don't know what it means to be in a local church,
It's not that you did not know what church they attend. They are not committed to churches. So the fruit of that on your local assembly can be good. So you bring people, you expose the flock to them, people who have, they don't know what it means to build and to be part of a strong local church. Some of them, by even being in your program to preach, was an act of disobedience. Coming to your program to sing was rebellion at their local church pastors. Let's quit this chaos. Are we together? And look into proper Christian discipleship. So that sometimes when people ask some questions and you answer, people are like, you are too strict, you are too harsh. No, it's not it. It's not it. Like I told someone, I said there is nothing like imagine I had to quickly caution the way I wanted it to, that I wanted to say it again. And this is my church. Are we together? And I'm still feeling that way. Are we together? And then how did they say? I said, all this invite people to come and sing and then put it there, selling your album, and then I said inviting them to come and concert, and I said it is useless. It is useless. I told them, I said, the songs ministry, in God's plan, the songs ministry is a ministry within a local church. All this, I'm called to. No. Nobody is called to sing. Are you with me? Are you with me? Nobody is called, and the ministry is what? Singing. Even though you can serve God's people through singing, but the corporate call we have, are we together? Are we together? Is to do what? Is to preach the gospel. So that is why, if you now say God has called you to sing, or you have a grace for singing, you must first of all be a preacher. Your example in scripture is David. 150 chapters of songs. He was a pastor. And he had a church. He had a shepherd. He was a shepherd. He had a people he was committed to. The temple. David was committed to temple service. Are we together? So, all this one that you just wake up, he says, God has given me the grace to sing. I'm not saying there is no grace to sing. No, some people have grace to sing. Are we together? Are we together? They have the grace of God working in their lives to put words into lyrics and to combine it in such a way that when the sick hears it, when the broken hearted hears it. Are we together? There's something such as the music ministry. But I'm telling you, the music ministry is a ministry in the local churches. All of these people that are going haywire, releasing albums, haywire, opening accounts, invited for all these concerts and all that, are supposed to sing to strengthen the local church. Are we together? That's it. So because when it is now practiced that way in every church, you will see a new shade of strong local churches. You'll see a new shade. Are we together? So there is a need to revisit the concept of Christian discipleship. Because by explaining around it, it will put out strange fires. You just see clearly from God. You don't need to argue, and you don't need to argue. You just see it. That's just the song's ministry is a ministry of the local church. That is why every instruction in the epistles on singing is the saints. The saints. The saints are the ones singing. The saints. And in singing, he said, you edify one another. The church. So the whole church. The whole church sings. The whole church. Then we can have individuals. Are we together? That leads the whole church in singing. But not this. You just go haywire. Then people can't submit to local churches again because they feel that they have been called of God. And then, you know, and it is because, like I said, we don't look at the world. It is because we are looking at the world. So in the world, you see the like of all these musicians in the world. releasing their albums, getting paid, inviting to stadium to, you know, some of them will go abroad and then the whole stadium will be packed. And then they sell out tickets. So they sell out tickets, the stadiums are packed, then they come, all these hip hop artists, and then they sing, and then the whole world is wow, and then they go on YouTube, they release the song, and then the people crowd it, and then they get monetized, and then they get paid. So you to now say, the Holy Ghost said, oh God, shut up. Are we together? The music ministry is in the local churches. That's it. It's for the local churches. Yes, the song can go out there, are we together, and bless the entire body of Christ. But everybody called music ministers, everyone called music ministers, are meant to be submitted in the local churches. Now, can you be invited to bless a church in songs? Oh, it's fine, but not outside the authority and the permission of the pastor or the leaders of your church. And that's orderliness, and that's safety, and that's covering. Are we together? So, again, calling people together to come and dance, and then dance, you say, dance away your sorrow. See some of your faces. Some of your faces look like those that will do that kind of thing. They are not any longer jarry. Hey! So Elon is Monsignor. So you go on break, and then you go in school, is on break, and then you're a student, and then you go home. See, all the dance that I've not done. In our church, it's just singing that one, lift your hand. Oh, Shaya. You know, this woman, they say, what's that? I remember one song. You just say, ding, ding, ding. And those guys are not nice. You will move your leg. And then they will tune, that brother there, they will tune the whatever. You just, they will give them one mic. Each mic, three gong gong, mic. And then someone will just come and gather the mic and start with Oriki. Before you know it, woman of God lost it. He said there's praise. They said now it's worship. Now it's time for praise. Give Jesus a crazy shout. Then you see people blow whistle in church. Then some people carry chair. And they say, hey, carry me the God. Yeah, carry me the God. Hey. And they say, Then you see the sister. Hey. Carry me to go. You are carried away onto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Then when you are back here, praise God. Now, is it wrong to dance? It's not wrong. But I showed you many times that dancing is not how we worship God. Yeah. Praise God. So, there are meetings of a church. And I'll close here. You can play for me.
We're going to see more of the glory of God as we worship Him His way. Are we together? As we what? His way. Yeah. So, there are meetings of a church. It was Kenneth Hagin that I had who foresaw this. The books, Plan, Purpose, and Apostles. And then follow God's plan for life. He said Jesus saw the one visions he had that one of the reasons why Christians are not blessed in the services, there's a lot of activities. But they get back home and people fall back into depression. In their personal lives, there's no joy. There's no hope. People are not strong in faith. But we come together and, oh, everything is, oh, everywhere is agog, sensational. You look at people, oh, they are well dressed and their kids are well dressed and then they're driving, who, how are you, how are you? And then on Monday, they are hating on each other and plotting against each other in the same church. And then someone is looking at that person and says, don't worry, I will show her that it's not only her family in this church. So in their lives, they are dead. There's no freshness. There's no joy. There's no riches. There's no oil. It's not fresh. And I'm not talking about a life of no responsibility where you are. No. You can have responsibilities in your life that makes you busy. And many times, when you have responsibilities that are consistent and continuous, there's a state of mind that it gives you. It is not lack of joy. It is just you are sealed up, you are sober. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a life that doesn't have the wealth, the substance, the move of the Spirit in it. And where we get it wrong is first of all in our meetings. Because we pattern it after the world. Let me tell you, those guys that go to those concerts and then go to Davido and then they attend those and then they when they get back to their homes, they don't have joy. They don't have hope. Some of those musicians don't even have hope. Some of them are just going like robots, doing what the outside requires. But in their lives, they are not happy. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. They don't have meaning. They don't have meaning. They don't understand the meaning to life. So, the church will be a light. Are we together? The church will not learn from the world. The church will show the world by focusing. Are we together? On its mission. Discipleship. And the tools of discipleship. The meetings. I believe this. If the churches focus on the kinds of meetings instructed in scriptures and sticks with it, in no time we'll be able to evangelize. We will be able to evangelize the world more effectively. More effectively. And then people come into a teaching service and they're taught. And then people can see that you are not trying to replicate a worldly concert in the name of a denomination. No. A teaching meeting. A prayer meeting. I explore that on Sunday. Are we together? An outreach meeting. Why do we call an outreach a meeting? Because when I'm reaching out, are we together? It's also two or three. I am talking to someone about him receiving Jesus. That is any two people gathered in my name. I am there. So Jesus is present in conversations to win souls. Conversations that we have in order to win souls, Jesus is present. Are we together? So evangelism is also a church meeting. Are you listening to me? Evangelism is also a church meeting. It's also a church meeting. Yeah. Because you are meeting someone. There are two people. And you are gathered together in his name for the other person to receive salvation. It's also a meeting. So we have evangelistic meetings. It starts from 2. It can be 5. It can be 10. It can be 2,000. Rehab Bunky. He had meetings where millions came together. That's an evangelistic meeting. Are we together? Are we together? Lives are transformed as we focus on discipleship and we focus on our meetings. So we focus on discipleship. And let me tell you something, church. Let me tell you something. Those are our meetings. Why? Because that is our mission, discipleship. If it's our mission in all the earth, look at what Jesus said. I'll close it. He says, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, isn't it? It means every nation can become a disciple. There's a statement of faith in there. It means all kinds. There is nobody that can be a disciple of Christ. Nobody. So if he instructed things to do, you don't have to look for what works for each person. What he has instructed you to do works for all. Are we together? So those are our meetings. Because that is our what? Mission. If that is our mission, those are our meetings. The moment that is no more our mission, are we together? Then we can start having all sorts of other what? Kinds of meetings. Are you with me? We can even have barbecue service. So maybe we have 2 trays of barbecue outside. You chop 2, then come into service. After you come into service, the usher will hand you a cup of parfait. And then as you are sitting down, when the sermon is getting too long, we'll give you popcorn. Then anybody that wants to drink Coke, there will be a water dispenser. There will be Coke there. It will be cold. We just press the cold. Say, I like this church. I like this church. Thank you, Pastor. Then you sit down again. Once our focus has what? Changed. We can start doing that. But as long as our focus is what? It's to make disciples, raise disciples, we'll stick with it. Are we together? We'll stick with it. Just stick with it. So, those are our meetings. Are you with me? Why? Because that is our what? That's our mission. We disciples, thank you. Outside. So we disciples, campuses around Maliti or Falbomoshaw. So we disciples in the battle. We disciples in Kirialimi, Asadam, Tipa Garage, Challenge, Zongo, Amilegbe, Emia Road. We disciples, Taiwoki, Taiwo Salem, Shao. Raise disciples, Itamodu, Itaisha. Raise disciples, Gomo, Afon, Idofia, Ajateku, Ikiti. Raise disciples, Ogomosho. Raise disciples, Ibadan, all throughout Ibadan. Agbowo, Iwo Road. Iwo Road. Moniya, Songo, Mokola, UCH, Bere Oje. Oremechi, Iwo Road, Lagupon, Olodo, Oki. Raise disciples in Lagos, Ikorodu, Yaba, Oshodi, Ojota, Lekki, raise disciples. Beka, raise disciples. Barika, those places. Oshun, Ikiru, Eweta, raise disciples within the state, the capital, raise disciples on Ondo, different aspects of Ondo, Abuja, raise disciples. The same kind of meetings. Are we together? The same kind of what? Raise disciples. So we're looking at Christian discipleship again, and some things cannot change. We will only learn to do them better. They can't change. Are we together? You can't be doing the same thing and expect a different result. Okay, whose context? Are we together? Whose context? God has been doing the same things. Are we together? And has been giving him what? Progressive results on the earth. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Put that statement in context. Sharp. Physical context. The same thing. We'll only do them what? Better. We'll preach better. Are we together? We approach discipleship better. We'll look at the challenges to establishing people in the will and the counsel of God. Then we approach it better. We'll get better at praying. We will get better in holding our prayer meetings. We'll get better in our teaching meetings. We'll get better in our evangelistic meetings. We'll get better. There are also other kinds of meetings. Are we together? Yes, we'll get better. Holy Ghost meetings, in our miracle and healing services, we'll get better. Are we together? I told you never yet. Are we going to have a kind of meeting where a comedian comes and is to make us to laugh? No, I must be stone dead spiritually for that to happen. I mean, very dead. Are we together? Not yet. Amen. We have the things of the Spirit of God that makes us rejoice. Are we together? We have the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. We don't need to bring a communion for people to be happy. No, we have the workings of miracles. Are we together? It's the ministry of Jesus. See, I have the ministry of Jesus. Teaching, preaching, healing, raising disciples. Are we together? Teaching, preaching, healing, raising disciples, putting out the words, planting churches. Are we together? You know, there's actually a grace of church planting here. Amen. In our church here. And actually says it now also. There's that grace of church planting. Ability to plant the church. And to raise it and to strengthen it is here. Are we together? And you're partaking in it. Are we together? Wisdom of church planting, courage of church planting, building and establishing cells. Are we together? Some weeks ago, the Lord was talking to me about what I call Project 100. And I need 100 workers for that. So if you are here in church, you are not in the workforce, it's better you start moving towards the workforce. God will reach many people through you. A Project 100. And we're going to have a minimum of 100 cells. We embark on that project in the locations where we have our works. 100 cells. 100. 100 cells. 10 to 15 to 25 workers. Are we together? 100 cells. So there is that grace of church planting here. Ability to picks a work on the spot and is thriving. Yes. It comes with much wisdom and courage. Because that is what God is saying. If Jesus were to be in the lorry, he would be planting churches. And those churches are cells. Are we together? Those churches are cells. Planting cells. Planting cells. Planting cells. Are we together? In 3 months, you have planted 10 cells. Are we together? As I told you, we don't have to be announcing those things. We don't have to put up. Let me tell you, there are some things you won't see. There will never come a time where you will see apostle this in front of my name. There will never come such time. Are we together? When you are an apostle, are we together? You don't have to put it in front of your name. We'll see it. We'll see it. We'll see it. The grace of an emissary. The ability to take a culture somewhere and establish people who are completely strange to that structure, that culture, and you are able to establish them. And that's why when some people go home and then because they travel out of the community or they travel out for one reason or the other and then they start to misbehave and not even keep in touch, I'm wondering, I say, are you sure this person has really been in church and has not caught this thing? And then you have already been influenced. No! There is an influence upon your life that goes out to others effortlessly. Yes. It's a church planting grace. 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 A spreading work. A spreading work. And there's wisdom for it. Wisdom. Courage. The ability to lock your mind around the work and make out of drug addicts disciples. Those that were committed to drugs are now committed to Jesus. You don't want that? You don't want that? Receive. Just stay where you are. Stay where you are. Receive. Receive. Just stay where you are. It's going around. Even if I don't lay hands on you, it's going around. Yes. Yes. And there's wisdom for it. Wisdom. Wisdom. Initiatives. Initiatives. Supernatural initiatives. Initiatives. Supernatural initiatives. 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 Supernatural initiatives. Yes. Initiatives. 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 Women pastors. Women pastors. Women apostles. Women apostles. Women apostles. Women apostles. And there's grace for it. 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 And there's courage. 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 And you're not weary. And you tell yourself, I'll go again. And internally walking courage this step. Internally walking courage this step. Yes. And internally walking courage this step. Yes. Where you encourage yourself. And then you go again. And then you bring forth results. Ability to weave your mind around one, it becomes 10. Yes. 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 Your cause has to burn. Yes. The grace to hold conversations with people and you leave them in full consciousness of God's plans for their life. Have you held conversations with people? Yes. Conversations with people, leaving them fully conscious of God's plans. Since you left me, I've not stopped thinking about God's plans. Since you left me the other day, I want to hear more. Hello, sir, please, can you come back? I want to hear more of those things you were telling me. I want to hear more. 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 Want to hear more? I want to hear more. I want to hear more. Yes. The tongue of a learned. God's plans and purposes. For replication, you're able to act out what you have seen in your heart. You're able to replicate it. Yes. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Oh, sweet Spirit of God. 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 Sweet Spirit of God, sweet Spirit of God, sweet Spirit of God, sweet Spirit of God, church planting, church planting. Families
Yes, it's part of what will be happening. You raise disciples within your families. And that is God bringing water out of the rock. Within that family, I'm here to say to you, you will win them over in effective service of the Lord. The word of God progressing through them as it is with you. He says, pray that the word of Lord may be glorified. And have recourse and be glorified as it is with you, as it is with me. 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 As it is with you. 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 Yes. Flames of fire. Flames of fire of the word. Strong winds of the spirit. Strong flaming winds of the Holy Ghost. As it is with you. Ministry of angels. Name of Jesus. As it is with you. God's grace is working. God's grace is working. God's grace is working.